help us to commence this evening's service by singing hymn 918, tune 681. Blessed are the poor in spirit, who their native honesty see. They are all taught sin's demerit, gladly own salvation free, and from Sinai to the wounds of Jesus flee. Hymn 918, tune 681.
Together from the prophecy of Isaiah, reading chapters 52, 53, and 54. Prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 52, 53, and 54. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem, Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there. The Assyrian oppressed them without cause. And therefore what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. That bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation. That saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, depart ye. Go ye out from thence. Touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see. That which they had not heard shall they consider. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. for we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his day. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travel with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me, For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphire. And I will make thy windows of agate, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stone. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, thou shalt not fear, and from terror it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Dear Lord, we come to thee. Look down upon us. We seek thy face. Thou knowest. We deal with the solemn issues of time and eternity. The solemn issues, Lord, of our frailty and carnality and sin, thy holy law and justice. And Lord, we seek that which stands between thyself, of whom we have read in thy holy word, wounded for our transgression. O come to us this night. And as we gather and are gathered around thy holy word, we seek thy presence. We pray for thy own work, the work of thy Spirit in the hearts of fallen men and women, that there may be a work begun and carried on which cannot be shaken, that which will stand in that great day, the work of thy Spirit in the hearts of thy dear people, the shining of that mighty light into the soul, revealing iniquity, transgression and sin, revealing poverty and ruin, inability. And dear Lord, we come to thee for all. All in all, said one in thee, I find. Thou knowest all we need. Lord, we need a keeping. We wander as thou knowest. We have a carnal, fallen, ruined nature. Lord, you make no excuse for it. The heart, we know, within us is deceitful and desperately wicked. We know, Lord, that in our carnal nature we love darkness rather than light. But, O Lord, we have that inner conflict that thy dear servant the apostle knew. When I would do good, evil is present with me. And how to perform that which is right, I find not. Lord, we have a tempting adversary, a vicious foe. We know that he knows our weaknesses. And day and night he knows how to tempt us. But, O gracious God, we look to thee. For those everlasting arms of love and mercy to be underneath. For thy protecting care, that we may be kept by the power of God. That out of weakness we may be made strong. And the Lord, knowing our weakness and feeling it, feeling our need of thyself, especially as we come into thy house to preach thy holy word. Lord, we pray that thou would do all things. Fill our earthen vessel once again. How we need it. Every time, Lord, we need a fresh anointing of thy Spirit. And, O gracious God, we pray for thy workmanship in the churches. The work of thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. That blessed work. For what the Lord doeth, we read, he doeth forever. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing taken from it. Lord, we pray for that which will stand in that great day, when we must inevitably stand before the judge of the whole earth. Then, Lord, to possess a spotless robe of thy righteousness. Then to have known here below that blood of sprinkling upon our soul, to have known its cleansing efficacy, and to have known, Lord, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses from all sin, and to hear thy own words in our heart and soul, ye clean, through the word that I have spoken unto you. Lord, look down, we pray thee, and grant such a mighty work in the hearts of the hearers, young and old, that there may be a knowledge, Lord, of sin, a knowledge of our ruin and fallen condition, and yet a knowledge of Christ, that there may be a point where the poor sinner can say, there is now, therefore, no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Lord, come and speak and teach, send down thy Holy Spirit into the churches, apply the great, exceeding great and precious promises in the souls of thy dear children, that there may be a possession of them by revelation. That thou wouldst reveal thyself in their hearts as their God, their Redeemer, their Saviour. That there may be said of them, as there was of Peter, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto thee, for my Father which is in heaven. Lord, grant that divine revelation. And look upon us each, Lord, as we journey onward and have done now over many years, constantly looking back to know that the preserving hand of God alone has kept us. And where would we be without it? Constantly seeking fresh grace, fresh strength, being able to fight that good fight of faith and to endure and to stand in that latter day. Oh, to be able to stand. Lord, look down upon us then. and come and teach us. Feed us with that bread of heaven and that water of life. Strengthen us with all might in the inner man. And enable us, Lord, to endure unto the end. To stand in the evil day and having done all, to stand. Lord, bless us this night. Thy word is before us. We pray for the anointing and unction of thy Spirit, the preaching of thy word. We pray, Lord, that there may be power in thy word of truth, as thou dost direct it into individual hearts. We pray, Lord, it may drop as the rain, the stillness of dew. What a gracious effect that has. There is a growth. We witness it in nature, the warmth, the moisture, and there is a growth. Oh, we pray there may be warmth, the warmth of thy love, and moisture, that water of life may be known in the heart. Thou didst say to the dear woman of the well, he that drinketh this water shall never thirst. Oh, may we drink it, and know what it is, to be strengthened by it in the inner man with all might. Faith to be increased, hope to be raised up. For Lord, thou knowest, it becomes but a dying ember. And yet if thou dost shine, oh how there is a melting of heart and a warming of thy love. Sweet nearness is known, and Lord, there is hope. Raised up. Oh, may that hope be ours. We may have it as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. That we may know that anchor in our hearts, Lord, in the sinking sands of time, and be brought through the storms of life. As we read in the psalm, thus he bringeth them to their desired haven. And Lord, it is a conflict, thou knowest. But oh, we are thankful that in thy incarnation here below, let us walk out the footsteps of the flock. And we have not an high priest. And we know it, Lord, who cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Thou hast come when most we have needed thee. And now, Lord, we would rest in thy arms of love and mercy. Seek thy presence. Know sweet communion with thee. Enter into that peace of God which passeth all understanding. And be prepared and made ready to meet thee face to face and to have an advocate, an intercessor, a great high priest. Oh, look down upon us, a Saviour, a Redeemer, one who speaks for us in heaven's high court above. Lord, look upon us then and grant that each heart, from the youngest to the oldest, may be touched by that heavenly flame, by that divine revelation, by that teaching of the Holy Spirit, may be the subjects, Lord, of divine grace. Lord, look down upon this candlestick of truth. Lord, we have known it and loved it over many years. A generation has passed before our eyes and gone to be with thee where thou art. But they have left behind them a fragrant memory. They marked the footsteps that he trod. His zeal inspired their breast. And following their incarnate God possessed the promised rest. Lord, thou said in thy holy word, seeing, ye therefore are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. And Lord, we are. And we would follow on. One said, think not I envy your crown, but following on. And Lord, we would follow on and seek that grace to endure unto the end. And the rising generation, Lord, we pray for them. The sin is no different in any generation. Unbelief is no different in any generation. All the generations since Adam, Lord, have been a fallen generation. And Lord, thy grace is no different. Thou abidest faithful. Though we believe not, says thy word, thou abidest faithful. He cannot deny himself. Oh, we pray for that divine work of the Spirit, foreordained before the foundation of the world, in gathering of that elect harvest, for which, Lord, thou didst die on Calvary's cross, and we are thankful. All is bound up in thy finished work, and not a hoof shall be left behind. Look down upon this church then, Lord, we pray its prosperity. Spiritual prosperity. The grace manifest in the heart. Separation of this world that lies in wickedness. A true separation, not a legal one. A separation out of love to thyself. Grace to be in the world and not of it. Oh, may that lesson be well learned. Lord, look down then. Separate to thyself. Separate from this world. And oh, grant grace to follow thee in the ordinances of thy house, in obedience and submission to thy words, if ye love me. Keep my commandment. Build up the churches, Lord, in the house of prayer. Oh, how we pray that thou do so. Lord, none can pray but with thy help. And thou dost work in the hearts of poor sinners in such a way, and in their lives, in thy dealings with them, to bring them to prayer, to make them feel, O Lord, their weakness, their inability, their need, to let them mourn thy absence, as thou didst leave the bride in the Song of Solomon, as we read there of thy work in the hearts of thy dear people. Make them seekers, and Lord, that they should find thee and know thee and know thy love and mercy. O work in the hearts of the young, Lord, as thou alone art able to do. Raise them up in their day and generation to be of use in Zion. Down on all thy dear aged people in sickness and affliction, we think of so many. Thy dear servant who has fallen, we remember him before thee. Lord, look down upon him in all his needs. Thou hast enabled him to labour long in Zion, brought him through many things, and deep sorrow. We pray thou would sanctify this affliction to his dear soul, and raise him up to stand on the walls of Zion. For thy servant in America, Lord, thou seest all the dangers of travelling in these solemn times. We pray thou wouldst protect him and bless thy dear people in that land, to whom we have found a deep love and union. Upon thy causes of truth, Lord, we pray for our land and nation, its vast wickedness. Thou seest the immense evils that abound on every hand, the solemn dangers to our religious liberty and our freedom of worship, and are now appearing. Thy people, but a mere minority in the nation, a very small remnant. Now, Lord, we know the solemn nature of the persecution of minority. Thy own people have suffered persecution, and there has been a cause for it. And Lord, there will be a cause if we as churches suffer solemn persecution. Oh, that there might be a great outpouring of Thy Spirit. And as we have read, Thy servants may see eye to eye. And that there may be, Lord, a union and a communion and a building up of the walls of Zion that have fallen down. There may be a strengthening of those things that remain that are ready to perish. We pray, Lord, for the Queen and the Royal Household, our Prime Minister, his Cabinet and Parliament, our Parliamentary Assembly. Lord, thou seest all things, a godlessness in high places. Yet thou hast commanded us to pray thus that we might lead peaceable lives in all godliness. Oh, have mercy upon us. Preserve our freedom as a nation, our Protestant Reformed heritage and constitution. And look down upon us now, Lord. We will come apart this night, gather around thy holy word, and pray there may be a flowing together for the goodness of the Lord. And ask every mercy, the pardon of every sin, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 261, tune 140. It is the Lord enthroned in light, whose claims are all divine, who has an undisputed right to govern me and mine. Hymn 261, tune 140.
Thank you.
Lord's help, I direct your attention this evening to the prophecy of Isaiah, the 54th chapter and the 10th verse. The prophecy of Isaiah, the 54th chapter and the 10th verse. The mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed. My kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. The mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. And we have it clearly stated here that this is the word of the Lord himself. What we need is that he speak this word into our hearts. And then we shall be in a position to say to him, Lord, thou sayest. The dear apostle, when he had his thorn in the flesh, writes so beautifully. He besought the Lord thrice that he would take it from him. And he says this, and he said unto me, what has the Lord said unto you? What have you got in your heart tonight that you can truly say before him who searches all hearts, Lord, thou sayest. These words are given in Scripture to be spoken by the Spirit of Truth to the hearts of his dear people. And they're spoken in certain circumstances which the Lord knows, hours of need. And they're a mighty power in the hearts of God's dear people. They have an effect. I tell you this, when the Lord speaks, there's an effect. When he said to the man at Bethesda, Paul, rise, he rose. When the Lord says, fear not, fear is taken away. Oh, when we come to look at these gracious commandments, when the Lord says, follow thou me, oh, there's a commandment. We may resist like Moses did at the burning bush, but we shall have to go. We will not escape the divine commandment. When the Lord speaks in the hearts of his dear children and calls them out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light and separates them from this world and says to them, come out from among them and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. There's a coming out. There's a knowledge of what Elijah knew in the cave. The still, small voice of God. And these exceeding great and precious promises are in the page of Scripture for use. They're to be used. They're to be spoken into the hearts of God's dear people. The Lord told Joshua in way of promise, as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I'll not leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord spoke into his heart. And you know, before the God of heaven, there is sincerity and truth in the hearts of his dear people. They can only speak of those things the Lord has given them. And they may mourn. Do they have nothing? They may be sorrowful, deeply sorrowful. They may carry in their hearts a solemn persuasion. And you may tonight that the Lord has never spoken a word to you. And you long for him to do it. You grieve and mourn an absent God. But you know in cases like that, there must have been some light. The world does not mourn. The world that walketh in darkness doesn't mourn an absent God. It's the child of God who mourns an absent God. He doesn't know it, and he can't see it, nor can he feel it. And he feels he'll be cast out of God's presence. Yet he longs to hear the voice of God. He yearns to know this voice of God speaking into his soul. Do you? Do you say, leave me not, neither forsake me, thou art the God of my salvation? The bride of Christ mourned the absence of the bridegroom. There was a reason for it. Her coldness, her lukewarmness, her death in her soul. But she wanted him. And she said so beautifully when she had sought him. And that beautiful promise, seek and ye shall find, which came from Jesus' lips. She said, I have found him whom my soul loveth. Lord, we speak those few words at the beginning before coming to our text because that's what's here. Saith the Lord. Now we would desire to speak into the circumstances of this word. What surrounds it? You know, it is like in the world of medicine. Certain medicines are used for certain afflictions. They're suitable. This is a word of the good physician to the poor sinner that is fatally sick with leprosy. This is to put his feet upon a rock in the sinking sands of time. Tis indeed. Oh, I say that in the light of the scripture, you know, all flesh is grass. How solemn that is. Nothing is as fragile as grass. We see all the various species of grass in the fields. The flower of grass is so delicate, so fragile. All flesh is grass. What a comparison that is. And we are. We are fragile creatures. And solemnly, from the day we're born, it is true of us, the grass withereth. We shall not abide any more than the grass does in the field. It may look green in its youth, but it will eventually wither away, and the flower thereof fadeth away. The flower of youth will be gone, and there'll be an end. Solemn end. Scripture says, if in this life only we have hope, we're all men most miserable. What is our hope? Where is it resting? Is it resting on Christ? One said, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Where do you stand tonight? There is, here in our text, a solemn statement of what is going to happen. And there's a solemn statement here of what did happen. We see it in the days of Noah spoken of here. He says, the Lord does to his dear church, this is as the waters of Noah unto me, for as I have sworn the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. When the Lord says that personally to a poor sinner, what a mighty comparison that is. The mighty hand of God. If we think that these earthquakes we're seeing in the world and these hurricanes and this tsunami and all the movement of nature and the divine creation in all its terrible force is great, think of the flood. How vast it was, and the wrath and anger of God that lay behind it. When we come to look at here, the Lord is speaking here so solemnly. The destruction of this world, the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. They to us in this world, as we understand it, are the greatest strength we can know. And yet look, what can an earthquake do to them? We've seen it. Shaken them. Everything standing shaken and destroyed. And all the solemn nature of it, death in the midst of it all. And here we have a solemn word of the Lord which regards time and this world. And notice the words that lie here, shall depart. Hymn writer speaks of it, when flaming worlds depart on fire and thousands sink to hell. This covenant, in all things ordered well. I was comforted by our dear friend's second hymn here tonight. Here is the foundation in our text, the covenant. Are we in that covenant? Have we any evidence we are in that covenant? One word from the Lord shows his dear people they're in that covenant. The dying thief had one promise. Today that shall be with paradise. He was in the covenant manifestly and experimentally in his own soul, and he knew it. When we come to look here at ourselves, all flesh is grass, and look at this world, it will depart on fire, Scripture tells us. And my mind was led this evening with this text upon my mind. It was led to the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, where we read this. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape, if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and with godly fear. We receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. All here below is going to be shaken. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we shall carry nothing out. Everything will be shaken. We may feel, as we did in our youth, that time would go on and life was before us. But nothing is in our hands. And nothing is certain. And all we say as we move from hour to hour and day to day is this, God willing, if we understand things rightly. Oh, the blessed mercy then, we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my strength and stay. How vital then. Did you be brought to seek him and find him for yourself? For in your life stands this solemn shaking. The mountains shall depart. Your flesh will fall. The hills will be removed. It is a fact of time and a fact of humanity. But then we go on into the text, but beautiful word, very precious, my kindness. You know, when the Lord deals with a sinner, he shakes solemnly under the Lord's dealings, often physically, brought face to face with eternity, as Hezekiah was. How he shook. How Jeremiah trembled in the pit and felt that the end had come. You know, when the Lord brings us face to face with eternity, oh, we will, if we have nothing solid to stand upon, we shake. But if the Lord has spoken into our souls his holy word, and has supplied it with almighty power, and it's ours, then there'll be peace. There'll be no shaking. The fear not will have done its work. A sacred healing balm in the soul. And when the Lord speaks, it's like oil on troubled waters. I tell you, look at the Sea of Galilee. Peace, be still. And there was a great calm. God's dear children prove this. And their feet are then standing upon a rock. And it's a trembling sinner who needs this. It's the child of God who knows his fallen condition and realizes what's in front of him. What lies before him. Who realizes that he has nothing acceptable to bring to God. He's not foolish like those who bring their own works, their own self-righteousness, their legal religion. The child of God has something which he can rest upon, and that alone is what the Lord has said to him. Oh, I say to you again tonight, what has he said to you? Your blessed mercy, if you went out of this sanctuary of God and felt in your soul, I possess nothing he's preached about, that'd be a blessed mercy. And the Lord bring you to seek for your own soul and not to listen for another. That you long in your own spirit and heart and soul for the Lord to speak a promise into your heart and say to your poor soul, my kindness shall not depart from thee. Oh, that presupposes that the sinner has known something of the kindness of his God. Have you known anything of the kindness of your God? Trace it out, you know, tonight. Trace it out. I look back in my life, in my unregeneracy, when I was wandering in the world, to his kindness. A night on the A6 out of Leicester, on a pillion passenger on a motorbike, head-on collision, thrown straight into the midst of a busy road with buses and traffic all around me. And I was spared. I never saw it at the time. I got up, I phoned for an ambulance, untouched, apparently. For the young chap who'd been driving the motorbike. But you know, I look back to see that kindness that spared my life in that hour. And you know, I look back in my life now to, and I speak naturally of these things, but I know the Lord's hand was in them. I look back to some moral precipices, not physical, moral, on the edge of solemn temptation. And then to be kept. I look back at it. And oh, to know the sweetness of this glorious text, that the Lord was a wall of fire about me. I proved it.
And then there stands over it that glorious word, kept by the power of God. Has the Lord been kind to you? Can you say, as I can, and there would I have gone, but thou dost all things well? You know, he searches all hearts. His eyes are upon the secret corners of our soul. He sees every thought. He knows what's there. But if under his teaching we hate it, we mourn over it, we look to him for strength, what a mercy. If our constant prayer is that he would keep us, you know, here is a glorious promise. My kindness shall not depart from thee. It is the promise that is needed in the heart of a child of God who fears and trembles that on account of his own sin, double-dyed sin, sins against light and knowledge, that kindness will depart. Have you ever felt it? Blessed mercy, you know. But the greatest mercy is this: to possess this promise in your own heart, and you won't take it. No child of God has ever taken a promise. They're given. And they're given by God himself. They're spoken with divine power into the soul. I say to you tonight, seek earnestly the best gifts. They're from heaven. They're given by God. And the Lord gives them for a purpose. They're given to be used. When the Lord dealt with his dear servant Jacob, he took him to Bethel, quite unexpectedly took him to Bethel. He went out from his father's house in an hour of great darkness and sorrow and sin, all his own fault, all his own sin, and there the Lord dealt with him and spoke in his heart to him. And he gave him a blessed promise. We read this: he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there because the sun was set. He dreamed. A ladder set upon earth, the top of it reached heaven, angels of God ascending and descending, and the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, unto thy seed. Thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west and the east, and the south and the north. In thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee. My kindness shall not depart from thee. Oh, he did come after years of deceit in the house of his uncle Laban, as he reaped what he'd sown, sowed to the whirlwind and reaped to the whirlwind. He did come back to the land, this land, his own land, the promised land, given to Abraham and his seed forever. But he came to Peniel, came to Brook Jabbok, and the Lord's kindness didn't depart from him, but it was great trouble. For his brother came with 700 armed men. And there in that troubled moment, having abandoned all carnal means to appease his brother, he went to his knees alone. What a sight we have of him. And you know, he wrestled and he said, I'll not let thee go, except thou bless me. And what a sight we have. The promise of Bethel. He had it. The Lord was good to him. the promise was there. These promises are like mighty chains that bind us all to God. They're part of that everlasting and eternal covenant, ordered in all things and sure. The Lord speaks according to his own divine purposes in sovereign grace, these promises into the hearts of his dear children. He does indeed. My kindness shall not depart from thee. You know, Jacob needed that. He waited 14 years until he came to use it. Many times it must have rested in his heart, never to be erased, indelibly written there by the divine pen. It was his. And the beauty of all that lay in it, in thee and in thy seed, that is Christ, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So much was bound up in it. And you know the Lord's covenant. A covenant beautifully described here as the covenant of his peace. Beautifully described by the angels over the hills of Bethlehem in these words, on earth peace. The same peace that he spoke of at the Last Supper, my peace. Lovely words. That is the atonement, reconciliation, my peace. I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The Lord gave Jacob sweet peace. We read this, he blessed him there. We read it of his grandfather on Mount Moriah, when he raised the hand over his father with a knife in him. And then we have that most beautiful word, as the ram was caught in the thicket and the sacrifice was offered. Then the Lord spoke. And it was this, in blessing. What a mysterious blessing that was, my kindness. We read so beautifully in from the Lord's lips, Abraham saw my day and was glad. My kindness shall not depart from thee. That is a rock. A promise of God to stand on. We'll never sink there. His word cannot be changed. And it's this, as you read in Hebrews, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. Oh, when the Lord speaks in his dear people's heart with divine power and authority, his word is theirs forever. They receive it. The dying thief received a kingdom on the strength of a promise which he was to enter into within a brief hour. Oh, have you a promise? Has the Lord brought you to his footstool of mercy? My kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. You know, it cannot be removed, can it? Once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. Once in him. Oh, that you might be brought to divine revelation, the eternal Son of God, to hear his voice, to come where dear Job came. You know, many of us have sat all our life in the sanctuary of God, and we can say with Job, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Further than this, we yet must go. but now mine eye seeth thee. Ah, a work of grace begun. And what's the effect of a work of grace? It's this: I abhor myself. Do you? And repent in dust and ashes. Do you mourn? Is it mercy to be a mourner all our days? Christ was. You know, to be brought down at his mercy seat by a divine power is a great blessing. And to be able to come forth as Jonah did and say, salvation is of the Lord, and know it in the experience of it. To come where Hezekiah came, what a sight he had of himself. And his prayer, pathetic, weren't they? Ah, no, they weren't in the Lord's eyes. In his eyes they were, like a crane or a swallow. He says, I chatter. You can tell the fear that was in his heart. He shook with fear. But in that cry to heaven, in his trembling, shaking state, the Lord heard. Jonah said, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest me. And you know, to Hezekiah here, in the 38th chapter of this prophecy of Isaiah, he comes to that blessed place where the Lord hears, answers, and he says, in answer to that prayer, undertake for me, O Lord, I'm oppressed. What shall I say? And here we hear his words, you know. He hath both spoken unto me, and himself has done it. Has he spoken to you? Himself done it? Beautiful words. Because what had he done? O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. Then he says this: for peace I had great bitterness, in love to my soul thou hast delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. He has done it. Ah, poor sinner brought to the footstool of mercy, carrying the knowledge, the bitter knowledge of all his sins, shown them by his God as a catalogue of evil and wretchedness, to know the Lord has cast all his sins behind his back. There is the covenant of peace. There is peace in the peace-speaking blood of Jesus Christ. There is peace indeed. I tell you, it's to be known. And that is to have your feet upon this rock, Christ Jesus. The covenant of my peace shall not be removed, shall be removed. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. And then this, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. That's the promise of God from his own lips. And the giving of that promise is in itself mercy. We don't deserve a single promise from God. We don't deserve a single blessing from him. All are sinners in God's sight, says dear Joseph Hart, till the blood of Jesus. Wash their robes and make them white. Then they sing his praises. Here then is a promise as great, as glorious and as grand as the promise he gave to Noah, that no more would he destroy the earth and mankind upon it, but that seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night, will continue to the end of time. There was a divine promise, mighty magnitude. And here is one of greater magnitude. A promise to his dear people, the members of his body, that he will never leave them, nor forsake them. That he is the God of their salvation. That he has loved them with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness, he has drawn them. I tell you, seek earnestly the best gifts. Plead with your God that he would reveal himself to you. Speak the exceeding great and precious promises, as Peter calls them, into your heart. Then that you, trembling one, may be brought to that sweet place in Scripture, in quietness and in confidence, shall be thy strength. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my strength and stay. Amen.
Hymn 139, tune 97. My shepherd will supply my need. Jehovah is his name. In pastures fresh he makes me feed beside the living stream. Hymn 139, tune 97.
Thank you.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.